Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our Two-Tone Blue at 8 segment, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. And to do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am still waiting for my Mercedes to arrive.
Well, it's on its way.
Okay.
It'll be there soon, I promise.
Is someone's birthday, by the way?
Yeah, my daughter turns 9 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Ooh. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I made her some birthday pancakes this morning.
Oh, very nice. That is
sprinkles?
That is expert level.
No, we do chocolate chips in our house.
Oh, nice. That's good, too.
Dad of the year.
That's better.
Very well done. Dad of the year for sure from Corey Curtis. Well, Corey, obviously the pancakes will be a much better tone than the rest of this conversation we'll have about the Titans from what we saw on Saturday. You've watched this team now for a long time. There have been some disappointing losses along the way.
Yeah.
Where do you put this one from Saturday in terms of losses that you've witnessed with this franchise?
Yeah, I think it's number one. The other most disappointing loss would be the 0-3 playoff loss in New England in the subarctic conditions, because I thought that was a Super Bowl team as well. Then obviously the 0-8 loss to the Ravens would be in there as well. But that, you know, that team was limited offensively. So I just, you know, I think this team and the 0-3 team were the, you know, those were really Super Bowl possible champion teams. Not that the 0-8 team couldn't have, they could have, but I thought this was a better team. And, you know, look, you've got 9 sacks, you're controlling the line of scrimmage. You're certainly not playing a perfect game, but you should have won the football game. You should have won the football game and you had home field and you had all 22 start. I mean, look, it was all there for you. And you didn't win. And, you know, just, I said this last night on Sports Extra, it's really hard because it's taken a long time. I mean, I've been here a long time, and it's taken a long time for this team to, I mean, despite 6 winning seasons, it's taken a long time for this fan base to believe in this team again. And they fully believed. They were all in. They believed this team was going to get them to the Super Bowl, and not just this year, but possibly for years beyond. And it still could happen, but I'm just saying that for a lot of those fans, that belief has been stripped away because they no longer believe in the quarterback. And that's a tough spot to be in. I mean, it's just like, it's like having somebody tell you Santa Claus isn't real, I think. And so it is a, you know, in 03 they still had Steve McNair, so they were still good. And, you know, nobody was blaming, you know, Steve McNair after that one. So it's a different kind of spot to be in because of how it shook down.
Okay, so what about for you, Corey? Because I'll tell you, I think differently of Tannehill after Saturday. I do. What about you on him?
Well, I mean, look, we all went in with the question of Tannehill in the playoffs, and some people made excuses for him, and some people, you know, didn't. Some people were like, no, he hasn't been good enough. And some people were like, well, you know, he's been as good as they needed him to be. You know, they won those 2 games where he threw for 88 and 72 yards. Guys, they've lost 3 in a row, and he hasn't been good enough in any of them. I mean, he makes, what, $30 million a year, $25 million a year? You have to win that game. I mean, that's the job. That's the job. It may seem unfair. It may seem cruel. I don't know. That's the job. And if you don't like it, you go play wide receiver, okay? Because that's the job. You get that money, you win that football game. He's not Case Keenum, all right? He's not even Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's Ryan Tannehill. He's making $25, $30 million a year. He's been to the Pro Bowl, and the expectations are that you win that game. And not only did he not win the game, he lost the game. Because at worst, you should have been punting and going to overtime.
Well, I agree. I mean, we can all agree that he didn't do it. But I want to know what you think moving forward. Would you move on from him? Do you think that this means that – do you think that they've lost faith in him inside that building because of Saturday?
You know, that's a tough question. I think – I mean, we've all played team sports, right? So you all usually have your teammates back, but you also know when somebody's holding you back. I think one of the other questions here is why did he regress this year, right? I mean, he had 17 interceptions with the three on Saturday, which is more than he had in the first two seasons he was quarterback combined. And he just, you know, there were injuries. Those were certainly issues along the way. But he wasn't the same guy. And so how much of his success was Arthur Smith, or maybe how much of his regression is Todd Downing? I mean, those are two different questions, right? And I think, you know, that's part of the equation that you've got to look at as well. And I don't know if I'm smart enough to know. I mean, I know that he and Arthur Smith worked really well together. I know Arthur Smith was able to put him in a lot of really good spots. And maybe that's all it is putting him in better spots. I'm not sure. I would have to think they would sit down and say, is this guy going to get it done for us? Because you've lost three playoff games in a row, two of them at home, and you haven't hit 20 points in either of them. And, you know, that's with both offensive coordinators. So I would, you know, if they haven't lost faith, I would think that it certainly has been shaken to where they're going to have some discussions. But even if you want to move out, it's really tough with $54 million in dead money. I know, talking to Jared, he thinks you can just magically make that disappear and move on because the Rams did it. The chicken comes home to roost eventually, all the time. But if you're in your window and you think you've only got 1 or 2 years or 3 years of that window left, then, you know, look at what the Rams did. You know, they said it's worth it. Our Super Bowl's in L.A. We're going all in. And now they're a game away. So, I mean, you've always got to have conversations about how to make, you know, your team better. And I guess that's one of my big things is if you're going to get rid of them, who are you going to get? You know, you're going to get Russell Wilson? You're going to get Aaron Rodgers? Or is there somebody else? Or are you going to draft somebody and just start over and just hope you hit? Because that's a risky game to play. Because believe me, and I know you guys as well, we've been watching this game a long time. There are a lot of first-round quarterbacks who've been really, really bad and have set their teams back for 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, you know, I agree with everything you've said about Tannehill. He is reason number one to me they lost this game on Saturday. I also didn't think it was a very good game from Todd Downing, and I wonder what his future looks like now. Do you think there's any chance the Titans move on from Todd Downing at OC this offseason?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, Mike Vrabel doesn't have a history. I mean, has he fired anybody from his staff?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, what's his
linebacker coach?
The linebacker's coach, but he moved on. I believe that wasn't firing.
He got passed over for the kind of the DC job, and right. he moved on. But yeah, he hasn't really fired anybody. You know, he's been pretty loyal. But he wasn't an original hire. You know, he was a late addition. And you know what's interesting to me is Tim Kelly being available. You know, Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator at Houston who just got let go. They coached together down in Houston. I know he's liked Tim Kelly. And so I wonder if they will kick the tires on that. And I know they're not the same systems, but smart football people are smart football people. They adapt. And also their system's gotten them knocked out in the first round or first game of the playoffs 2 years in a row. So maybe it's time to tweak it. I don't know. I think that's a discussion they certainly have to have. They certainly, I mean, look, they did a lot of things well this year, but they were not the cohesive machine that they were. And obviously, again, injuries are part of the reason for that. But you've got to have more than 16 points on the board in that football game. And, you know, Mike is right. We second-guess. That's our job. But they second-guess themselves all the time. Whether they say they do or they don't, they go back and they go over what works and what doesn't work and what they're going to do next time because what they did the last time didn't work, right? So that's second-guessing yourself. There are going to be calls in this game. You know, because I remember I was sitting on press row and they started this drive and I go, is this the drive where they run it 13 consecutive times? Because that was always the Arthur Smith get-right move, right? Just run the ball completely down the field and don't even throw it. And so that's what I thought they were going to do. And Henry goes for like 8, Henry goes for like 9, and then they get a first down, and then Deontay Foreman goes for 45. and you think, oh, they're just going to run it right in and establish their dominance in this football game. I mean, I thought that's what that was. I thought that was put the guy on the ground, put your foot on his chest, and stand over him and tell him you're better than he is. I thought that was that moment. And instead they drop back to throw, and he gets picked off, and it was at that point you knew they were in real trouble in this one because you thought that's where they were going to take charge of the football game. And so, you know, you can question that, but, I mean, gosh, it's offensive football, guys. Plays set up other plays. So, I mean, they just don't do it, you know. They're not just drawing plays out of a hat, you know. Everything's designed to work. So that's where it gets tough for me. But, you know, I don't know how much they're a match. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, they're never going to let on that they're not a match, that they're not getting along, you know, this thing or whatever. Cause, I mean, I don't think they're not getting along. But, you know, you have to decide whether it be Tannehill or whether it be Downing or, you know, whether it be Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan or Zach Cunningham. Does this guy get us closer to the Super Bowl next year? They've got to answer that question about everybody.
Well, and look, Mike Vrabel's a head coach because Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson decided that they needed it just wasn't good enough with a head coach who
exactly
had won
right.
a playoff game. Now, I know that was an OC related thing too, but this
maybe.
Well, but regardless, they moved on from a head coach who just won a playoff game, which to me
does
bring this situation to mind. At some point it's like
yeah.
I mean, you're cutthroat with players all the time, right? You're cutting players left and right. So coaches can't be sacred cows.
No, and you're absolutely right. They cut a coach because they thought this was the coach to get them to the Super Bowl. And you know what? That's their job. That is John Robinson's job, is to make the hard decisions to get this team to the Super Bowl. And, you know, you're right. Mike Vrabel has to look at his coaching staff the same way and say, you know, look, if we're going to play the Bills or the Chiefs, you know, next year or the Bengals next year because they've got tons of young offensive talent, are we in position to go toe-to-toe with them, whether it be the quarterback or the offensive coordinator? And, you know, you can't make decisions on guys if, well, he's good at his job. You know, I like him. He's good at his job. Can he win you the Super Bowl? That's the only question that's really important here. I mean, because that was the goal for this team. That was a big point of our show last night, is that the disappointment for this team was not losing this football game. Losing the football game stunk. They're not going to the Super Bowl. That's what they're upset about. And that's what their goal was. That's what their belief was. And that's the question when you look at everyone on that coaching staff and everyone on that roster. Can they get us there?
Yeah, it's going to be a really fascinating offseason, no question about it. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, enjoy your pancakes. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, thank you, guys. Enjoy. Going to be interesting today how much comes out. It's going to be really tough for people to, I think, still have a right mind. Because, I mean, you saw all weekend on Twitter, these guys are still heartbroken. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
Yeah, don't blame me either. Corey, appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Corey.
Yep.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Get back into the Ryan Tannehill discussion as well. This coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You guys keep saying we when you're talking about this loss, but a lot of that responsibility will be placed on Ryan Tannehill. In your mind, like, why isn't it just him, just his fault? He had 3 interceptions today.
I can't speak on, I guess, none of that. I mean, that's not my job.
It certainly was not good enough as an offense on Saturday as the Titans fall 19-16 to the Cincinnati Bengals. They are out as the number one seed in the playoffs. One and done again as the number one seed for the third time in franchise history. Going back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Robert in Nashville texting in says, I'm still waiting to be sad after Saturday's loss. I can't seem to get out of the mad phase. How long is that going to last? It's coming from Robert in Nashville on the text line.
If you're still mad after 4 hours of this show, call a doctor.
Yes.
No. I think mad is still appropriate right now, isn't it? Yeah. Matt's probably better. I mean, I will say, I experienced an emotion on Saturday night that I don't know that I've ever felt. After the Titans losing the way they did and then the Packers losing the way they did, everybody here says numb all the time, and I've never really felt like what that is. I was standing there in shock. I didn't go to bed Saturday night until like 2 in the morning. I was just standing there looking around my house. What just happened to the two number one seeds today? My Super Bowl pick dying in one day.
Yeah, I guess there's a variety of, you know, different reactions to it. Yeah, I have a buddy of mine who's a Titans fan who sent me like, what's the Batman Bane?
Yeah.
You know, I was born in the darkness. You know, like just pure misery and agony. Not to laugh at it, but, you know.
Just brutal. A brutal day.
You're not a Jags fan, everybody.
Thanks. Yes. Although, they have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's true. They do have they have the quarterback.
They might be in a better spot. Who knows? Good gracious.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. The Jags have – I mean, if that's where you want to – that's what you got to do to get a quarterback like that. And then – hope that he's still one of the small percentage of those guys who actually work out.
Yeah. Well, look, we've talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill today, and we're going to talk about Ryan Tannehill for a long time here on the show. I will say, you know, I had high expectations for Tannehill coming in this game. We talked about it last week. I mean, Call Your Shot Friday, my called shot was Ryan Tannehill's going to play really well. He's going to throw for 250 or more and three touchdowns. I felt really confident about the way he was trending heading into this game. I think the 10 quarters of football before had been really good. He had his offensive line back. A.J. Brown's healthy. Julio Jones is healthy. Derrick Henry's coming back in. Like, to me, all the ingredients were setting up for Tannehill to play well. And then he comes out in the first play of the game and throws a pick to the other team, and it just never really got any better from there. And I said this to begin the show. I think that you and I have tried to be level-headed about this discussion with Ryan Tannehill. You know, certainly more this year, the divide on Tannehill has gotten much wider than it's been the last couple of years. I think you and I have done a pretty good job for the most part of when he's played well, we give him the credit he deserves. When he doesn't, we give him the criticism that he deserves. I will say, though, I still felt like the Titans were capable of winning a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback heading in the game on Saturday. And honestly, I just don't feel that way anymore. Like, Saturday's game to me totally changed the way that I view Ryan Tannehill and really this situation as a whole with this franchise right now. It was that bad. To me, it was that disappointing. And I don't know how, if you're a Titans fan or even somebody in that building right now, those thoughts aren't at least going through your mind with what we saw on Saturday with Tannehill.
I kind of like how Corey Curtis put it. You know, it's like the finding out Santa Claus isn't real. I mean, to me, it just kind of it made the entire season look a little different because everything was now in his favor. All of the things that were – they weren't all missing every game, but in one game – I mean, pass protection was a problem most of the year. It went down, and I think that did affect him. We know about the injuries and all that stuff. We know about Derrick Henry, and I think even though Vrabel kind of poo-pooed this after the Miami game, I think that – Derrick Henry, the passing production went down pretty significantly after Henry got hurt, and I don't think that that's a coincidence. Okay, but now it's all there for you. Other than the only thing that's the same, and it's going to be discussed a lot inside the building, outside the building. The only thing that's the same is Todd Downing.
Yep.
But still, there's just some plays. Look, the Rodgers little screen to Rodgers like was doomed. Even if that doesn't get tipped or if it gets tipped but it doesn't get picked or whatever, if you complete that, then okay, it's second and goal from like the 10 now. I mean, there were two guys there. Like it was – that would be a play that I would look at Tannehill and say, get out of that, you know. But then there's also the not handing it to Derrick Henry, not reading that play correctly in a read option. Read option means you read it. And then just the decision. I'm sorry, but like the Bates thing is the first pick – there are a lot of things you can say about that, but ultimately, like, you can't just anticipate that play and stare down your receiver and think you're not going to be in trouble on that play. I'm going to read I'm going to read something from A to Z Sports that I just pulled up from Buck Rising. Okay, this is a quote. Quote: Titans fans will pull their hair out and scream for Tannehill's ouster, while smarter football heads prevail and break down tape of Saturday's implosion. End quote.
and this is basically a piece about putting more on Downing than on Tannehill. There is a tweet, and we talked about this on the play, but there's a tweet embedded here from Matt Bowen. Matt Bowen's an ESPN guy, one of their film guys, talking about that play, saying because there was a lack of any sort of receiver on the other side of the field to take Bates' attention away. There was no one flooding that side. His tweet says, allowed Bates to get eyes to the front side. That brings us to another discussion on the Titans' pass game structure, which can be viewed as limited by play design, end quote from Matt Bowen. So, look, I think all that's fair. I mean, I think Todd Downing, scrutiny, very well deserved right now. But I'm with you. Number one here is the quarterback making the decisions that lead to these picks, especially the first and the third pick. And those are the killer. I mean, the first pick, it took the air out of the balloon. And the defense did all they could all day long to keep that place rocking. They did. And the third pick, we know, that obviously lost you the game. It's Tannehill. You start there.
I don't think there's any question about it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. We got a lot to get to coming up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Brad in Clarksville texting in says, as a Bengals fan, I was always fooled into thinking that Andy Dalton was good enough to win the Super Bowl, and now I know that I was foolish. Tannehill equals Andy Dalton. That's coming from Brad in Clarksville.
Yeah, a few Bengals fans on my column off the game, which was largely about Tannehill, came with that comment, and I must say, it's not a bad comparison. Dalton was a good quarterback for a long time. They won a lot of games. They were a good team. They couldn't get over the hump in the playoffs, and a lot of times it came down to, Andy Dalton going against a team with a better quarterback. It's never just about that. Again, Jimmy Garoppolo just beat Aaron Rodgers, technically. It's not because of Jimmy Garoppolo, not much because of him. He did make some big throws late. I mean, the big throw to
he had a good one to Kittle.
Kittle was a, but still, I mean, he almost single-handedly lost that game for him. But I think Dalton is a good comparison, and there are a lot of moments like this for Bengals fans over the year, but never a team that was a one seed or, I think, built as well as this one going into the playoffs.
I got a texter that says, forget Titans, go Preds. So that's what we should do. We should just totally not talk about Titans.
Matt Duchene had two goals against the Red Wings.
He did.
But I wonder what the atmosphere in Bridgestone. So, this is like the cool little double play thing.
Yeah.
So you got the chance, just like with the Music City Miracle, the Preds beat the Blackhawks that night, apparently.
Yeah.
How much did the atmosphere in Bridgestone get severely damaged by what happened earlier? It had to have, right?
I don't know, man. It couldn't have been great. Like, in terms of just Titans fans just sitting there in shock. I mean, the good news is Preds played well.
Yeah.
Handled the Red Wings pretty easily.
I mean, I'm sure the atmosphere responded to the Preds playing well, getting a win, but like, that could have been like the end of the day cherry on top, and instead it's like,
oh, boy.
So anyway, for those of you who did the double play and went in there and cheered on the Preds,
good for
after
you.
Sitting through that Titans game, you are a true fan.
That is correct. Dennis on the text line says, Tannehill needs to recognize what he is and what he isn't. You are more Dilfer than Favre. Play like it. Even the AJ touchdown was thrown into double coverage. That was a great throw, great catch on that play. But
yeah, I mean, look, you put it in the exact right spot. And that's the thing, is Tannehill will still make plays. I mean, right before the pick, he threw a little bit risky into traffic, but a really important throw to Julio Jones. He made some good plays. He has done a lot of He's had a lot of productive days and good days with the Titans. It's just the Saturday, those days, they just mean more than everything else combined. It's what it's all about. And the first pick to me said enough. Pick on whatever you want on the Downing stuff. Downing is a separate discussion. It's an important discussion. No, Todd Downing did not make Ryan Tannehill stare down Julio Jones to throw that pick.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Colin on the text line says the Titans need to figure out how to go on a playoff run like the 2000 Ravens with Trent Dilfer at quarterback. And we've talked a lot about that here on the show. Like, Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Trent Dilfer was. He's a better quarterback than Brad Johnson was. All these different guys, he didn't play like it on Saturday. But I also think it's not impossible to win a Super Bowl that way. I mean, Jimmy G might do it this year. We'll see. I think it's getting harder to win a Super Bowl that way because of the way the rules are set up offensively. I mean, the quarterbacks are the name of the game right now. I mean, go watch that Bills-Chiefs game last night. That's what today's NFL is. That's how you win in today's NFL. And can the Titans win a Super Bowl without having an elite quarterback? Yeah, but it takes a lot of things to go your way. And I think that those days of your Trent Dilfers and your Brad Johnsons and those guys winning Super Bowls, they're not over. But I think it's getting harder and harder to do that the way that today's NFL is set up. Well, that's just me. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's the way the league is trending.
No, I mean, I agree. It's not impossible. The game was different. Now, still, even when the game was different, usually, most years, the team that ended up on top had a great quarterback. But, yeah, if you go in recent years, you brought up Jimmy G a couple years ago, got there. So that counts as one. Certainly, it hasn't. I mean, look, in 18, you know, the 17 season, the 15 season, you got Peyton Manning. Yes, it's Peyton Manning, but it wasn't Peyton Manning.
Right.
That was game managing Peyton Manning with an incredible defense. And then you had Nick Foles for a team that, by the way, Carson Wentz got, you know, all the way there. And then Nick Foles takes over. So
now, he did have an out-of-body experience in that game.
He did. So yeah, you're right. His performance was that of a great quarterback, but he's obviously not one, hasn't been one. I mean, you know, you go through the years. For the most part, the participants in these games, you go back to Flacco. In 13, I mean, you got Flacco against Kaepernick in that game. You know, you've got examples. You do not have to have a generational quarterback to get to the Super Bowl for sure, and even to win it, it's possible. But I agree with you that it is more difficult than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, to be able to. I mean, go back then. You still had Aikman's run, and you had Montana and Young, and Favre gets one, and Elway gets two, Warner gets one. For the most part, it's that kind of guy. Here and there, you'll have a Jeff Hostetler, you know, quarterback. Sorry, Bills fans.
you don't have to say sorry, Joe.
Can't stop. You know, wow. Jim McMahon, I know. You're just reveling in Bills Mafia's misery. But, yeah, look, for the most part, it's that. It's not 100%, and it won't be 100% moving forward. But I guess the question is there enough around? See, because the text was exactly right. What it comes down to is, could you do it with a Tannehill? I mean, in theory, yes. I felt a lot better about saying yes before Saturday. But then you have to have that safe with the ball game manager approach to the game. Like, you can't give the team the ball.
Right.
You can't do it.
Cody on Twitter says, plot twist, the Bengals defense was spectacular on Saturday. Bates and Hinton made tremendous reads on athletic plays on the interceptions. The third interception was a drop by the receiver. Reader was a beast in defending the run. The Bengals linebackers were great in run and pass D. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the Bengals, but I've had this argument with like five people since Saturday night. In what universe was the third interception a drop by Nick Westbrook-Ikhina? It's a pass breakup, and it got tipped up straight in the air.
Yeah.
Like, what universe is this a drop?
Well, the official, and I don't know if they change it, but I know, look at this box right here. The official score did not, by the official scoring, it was a drop. It was just, there was no credit to Eli Apple given. Yeah, just
probably because he was so close to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, the official scorers didn't see him there because he was literally attached to his body.
Well, see, actually, hold on. Okay, I'm reading this. It does say intercepted by Luke Wilson, and it says Eli Apple in parentheses, so I guess they did give him credit? That's a weird way to give him credit, though. But anyway, yeah, it was absolutely Eli Apple. The reality of it, he got his hand in there. It was a great play by him. Great play, but also not the guy to throw to on that play. So, again, you can talk about play design. I agree on the first pick. Like, it's weird that there's no one on the other side of the field to deter Jesse Bates from just coming over to Julio Jones. That play, Anthony Firkser, right across the middle, nice and easy. No one near him. He turns it upfield. You get probably more yards than you would have with Westbrook Akina, and you don't risk a pick. So that wasn't a play design problem. That was a Tannehill problem.
Keith on the text line says, there are 26 or 27 teams looking for an elite quarterback. Everyone take a breath.
Well, sure. No, exactly right. I mean, who in the NFL right now is completely content with their quarterback? We saw two teams last night,
yeah,
for sure. I think you can say that the Rams now feel validated in what they've done, and they might win a Super Bowl with him.
You think Tampa Bay is content with their guy?
Yeah, I think they're okay with that guy.
Apparently he's going to retire. That's what everybody's talking about today.
Yeah, that's weird. What's up with that?
You know, I would put the chances
at 1%. Is he going to go out like that?
1%.
Yeah. So there's four. Bengals? There's five.
Yeah. Chargers probably feel pretty good.
Okay, there's six.
Jags probably feel
wherever
pretty good.
Wherever Deshaun Watson goes?
Well,
I mean, you can't put Aaron Rodgers in this discussion anymore because I don't know where he's going to be.
Okay, but someone will have him, which would be seven. All right? Like, how many quarterbacks make teams feel great about that being their quarterback? And then you get into, you got Russ, you got Kyler in Arizona. I think they feel good about it, but, you know. So, in reality, it's more like 10. I mean, Deshaun Watson will be somewhere at some point, and I'm forgetting someone that I was just going to say. Well, you know, then you have, like, the teams like, okay, how do the Raiders feel about Derek Carr? Probably pretty good. I don't think you feel bad about it. I mean, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, I think, yeah. You know, a terrible year. Unbelievably bad luck. So, it might be in the 10 to 12 range of teams that feel good about it. But to your point, there leaves 20. That's still leaving you 20 teams that are searching. And the Titans are just, I think the Titans have been placed into that category. They've been plunked into that category with one performance Saturday.
You're saying Keyshawn Johnson was right the whole time and Cam Newton's better than Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, my goodness. So I didn't hear. So Keyshawn went on with Jared. Did Jared actually, like, argue for Tannehill? Is that what happened? I didn't hear the interview.
I think he argued with him over Jimmy G, but I don't think Jared was, like, standing
on the
table.
So basically, it was just an argument over who is the worst quarterback left in the playoffs?
Yeah, kind of.
And when we come back from his break, Keyshawn said something about it today.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that he did.
All right. Well, I look forward to hear that. Hey, Jimmy G won, and I guess you could make this a media criticism too, because I've seen a lot of Jimmy G in the heart of a champion.
Did nothing in the game.
And he wasn't good. So if one of those sacks of Burrow, one of those nine sacks turns into a strip, which actually it's incredible that none of them did.
Yeah.
And then it goes
the other
way.
I guess he's had a lot of practice at holding on the ball going down this year.
I guess. That goes the other way, strip sack, scoop and score, Titans win, then it's like, Ryan Tannehill overcame the early mistake,
yeah,
and the other mistake, and winning QB. I mean, it's a team game.
Or you just block a punt, like the 49ers.
That too.
Or field goal. Or
we haven't talked about the Titans special teams, which, by the way, was pretty cheeks.
Yeah, it was not great. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So I was on the Nashville, Tennessee's radio station who covered the Tennessee Titans, one of them the other day.
Uh-oh.
And they wanted to know why Ryan Tannehill was eighth best quarterback on my list left in the playoffs.
Because there's seven dudes better.
Because that's what I told him. It was seven guys better. And when you look at it, was I wrong? The guy threw three interceptions in the playoffs. The number one seed. They're now at home. They had to put it on his hands. And when they put it in his hands, he wind up giving it to the other team. That's why he sits at number eight, Nashville.
That was Keyshawn Johnson responding to his interview with Stillman the other day while he was on the radio this morning. I mean, look, it's hard to argue that. Now, again, if you watch, if your takeaway from the Green Bay San Francisco game the other night was, oh, wow, Jimmy G, man. I don't know what you were watching, but hard to argue against the Tannehill thing right now.
You know what I love about that is now that that means that Stillman has now become like the Homer Tannehill defender.
Well, it was funny because before the interview,
he'd be wearing a 17 jersey today.
Yeah.
He said it like, I'm not a Homer. I'm not a Homer station. We're not a Homer station. We're not a fan. Like, he said it so many times before it.
Yeah.
And now he probably heard that and he's like, oh, gosh.
And as Keyshawn hears him say over and over again, not a Homer station, not a fan, Keyshawn's envisioning like Jared sitting there with his big foam finger with number 17 on it. Jared,
big Tannehill stand.
Homer. 4 hours today of Jared making excuses for Tannehill. I don't even know if I can listen.
We got some tickets to give away to say the Preds take on Vancouver coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. Be the caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on Vancouver coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. Going to be a really interesting week here on the program reacting to the Ryan Tannehill thing. I mean, it's just today it's about just really the disappointment of it all. Like, you had such an opportunity in front of you, and Corey Curtis put this, I think, pretty nicely earlier. It wasn't just beating Cincinnati that you were worried about in this game. I think everybody felt like this team, given everything they had gone through this year, the injuries they dealt with, and now everybody getting healthy coming back in the playoffs. I think you felt like this team had a real shot to go out there and get to a Super Bowl. I mean, you had both games at home. You were the number one seed. You were taking on a Cincinnati team that I think we all knew you could have some success rushing the passer against, and they did. That, to me, Joe, still might be the most incredible thing from Saturday, is you sacked Joe Burrow 9 times and you lost the game. 9 times, and you lost the game. Like, everything was out there in front for this Titans team, and they just choked it away, and their quarterback choked it away. There's no other, I think, conclusion to have than that. And that's what happened on Saturday, and that's what makes this pretty tough to swallow now because, you know, we've talked about this all year. The future for this team was always going to be in question because of the salary cap situation you're in, and quite frankly, you've drafted like crap the last couple of years. I mean, there's a lot of things that put this future in question. But now you can add the quarterback to the list. It just feels like such a huge blown opportunity by the Titans the last couple of years, but especially this team. It just feels like a huge wasted opportunity.
Well, it's incredible to think of a year ago the questions of, well, one, who's going to be the DC? You know, Vrabel's going to go get a big-time DC, right? But then how are they going to fix that defense? The worst third down defense, the lowest sack total for a defense for a team to make the playoffs, just awful. You know, no pass rush, no coverage. How do you fix that? And they did. They not only fixed it, they turned it into the best pass rush, not the most sacks in the league, but the only team with 3 guys with 8 sacks or more. And then they perform like that. Simmons, absolutely dominant. I mean, Aaron Donald yesterday, rightfully so. You know, it was a nice NBC late in the game, had a nice, you know, sequence of clips. Just incredible dominance. The number 2 guy after him, and we heard some people say this in the NFL Players Bowl, is Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
He was unblockable. Whether he made a play or not, he was unblockable. Harold Landry, incredible. Autry, what a pickup he was. Danico Autry, just fantastic. And Bud Dupree got in there too, and you know, that's why you look at that and it's like you got to run that back. But they fixed things. They got Christian Fulton, who didn't have a great day, by the way. But Christian Fulton has become a good number one corner. You know, Amani Hooker with this incredible play. Now they have Cunningham in there with Long. I mean, they fixed the defense. That's a defense that's good enough to be playing in Los Angeles in mid-February.
Yep.
And you squandered it on an incredible day for that defense. Now, as we go through all the things, like I said, special teams, yep, boy, some bad moments there. You know, Downing, certainly. I mean, Downing is number 2 after Tannehill, and people you look at in this game and say, what went wrong here? But even the defense, I mean, a crushing thing, and Byard talked about this after the game. You know, Byard is very hard on himself publicly. He is very accountable. Sometimes maybe he doesn't even need to be, and he is. And, you know, he talked about that last play. I mean, Jenkins, to give up the 19-yarder to Chase right away is a killer. So it's not like the defense was perfect, but, man, you played more than well enough to win the game.
Apparently Joe Burrow recognized a signal that the Titans pulled out on that play, and that's why they ran that route. That's what the people of Cincinnati are saying. But that just kind of sounds like something that Joe Burrow would do.
I mean, he's pretty good. You know, Joe Burrow, and this is where also you get into depression now, or you can if you're a Titans fan. Not only did we watch this game last night where it's like ultimately in a game like that, how do you beat a team like that with quarterbacks like that? Joe Burrow at some point is going to have better offensive linemen in front of him. You're going to have these receivers out there mixing.
Well,
that's a team that's going to be there moving forward. I feel better about them over the next 5 years than I do about the Titans.
I don't think there's any question about it. And that's part of the timing of this and why it feels like such a huge missed opportunity is, look, we've always known that Mahomes is going to be there and you're going to have to get through him. And here he is again in the AFC title game for the fourth consecutive year. I think we're pretty confident Josh Allen's going to be around for a while based on the way that he played last night. But
he was fantastic.
I mean, the next crop of guys are coming up. I mean, Joe Burrow's in the AFC title game in his second year. Justin Herbert's a pretty darn good quarterback. Like, you had a window there where you could have gotten in there before these guys started to ascend, and now one of them just ascended right past you, and there's more on the way, and now you're looking at Tannehill and saying, all right, we know that this team in the AFC and this team in the AFC – they've got a certain level of quarterback play they can get to that we just can't. How do you overcome that if you're the Titans? It's a tough spot to be in.
Right. Again, the Niners could get to the Super Bowl, and if they do, it's because they got one, they have a really good offensive scheme, coach, play calling, design plans are very good there. I mean, look, the Shanahan-McVay thing isn't just mythology. Those guys are really good. If you watched the Rams yesterday, it's not just that Stafford played great and had an all-time playoff performance because of the end. It's also like the stuff they do is pretty creative and keeps defenses off balance, but also because they're physical, because they have an incredible pass rush. They figured out a thing with Deebo Samuel that's just so creative and unique. And the thing is, the Niners are doing this without a very great, good secondary, you know? And this is where, by the way, not to rub salt in the wound there for you, but I seriously think that if that game had been played in a regular condition situation, the Packers would have won by 10, 17 points.
Well, they may have.
Build a dome, Robbie.
Well.
Build a dome.
Well, Jordan Love doesn't need it. He
can sling it. Joe, there. You did just rub salt in Robbie's wounds.
I'm sorry. I just came about that stream of consciousness back,
Jordan Love,
back to that.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. You know, it's all going to go well. Yeah.
If you're Denver, maybe consider building a dome. Get Rodgers and Adams in there at the same time.
Where is Aaron Rodgers going to be next year?
I don't know,
man.
In all
seriousness, you have to bet right now. Where is he going to be?
If I had to bet right now, I'd say Denver. If you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd have said Green Bay. But I don't know. Just the way it ended, they have $40 million of cap space right now. And that's before you sign Rodgers, you sign Adams, and you have about 12 other guys they have to make decisions on. I mean, they're going to be a worse team next year, even if he's back. So, he's gone.
So, by the way, speaking of the Titans and the window and everything, so how about Aaron Rodgers in the AFC next year?
Well, some people will say, all right, what about Aaron Rodgers as quarterback of the Titans next year? Get into that discussion.
Could have drafted him way back when.
Could have.
Got your chance to make up for it.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
We'll see what happens. When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' loss. Also, big win over the weekend for the Preds as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.